What's wrong with you people?
Welcome to Not Another Baptist Podcast, and my name is Matt Hensley. I'm the pastor of Plymouth Park Baptist Church in Irving, Texas, and I'm joined by Dr. Kyle Non-Alcoholic Bierman, who is in where?
I'm in Salina, Kansas, Matt.
Never heard of it, but that's a good example of what you guys do because you are like some, it's like a 10-word title, like rural specialist extraordinaire for the NAM replant team because you are there in that wonderful state to do one of your little replant thingamajiggers. What is that you're doing?
Yeah, a replant thingamajigger. We're getting ready for our rural summit this weekend at a camp and conference center here in Salina, Kansas. We have all total with our team and everything about 100 people that will be here this weekend, just seeking to pour into some rural pastors.
Okay, well, what are you pouring into them other than coffee?
What's coffee? There will be lots of coffee. Our theme is Hold Fast. And so we are going to walk through one of the servant songs in Isaiah primarily, along with Philippians 2, where Paul calls us to have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. And we're going to talk about what it means to hold fast to Christ Jesus, while at the same time he holds fast to us in the work of ministry.
I love it. Well, Kyle, the other day on the Facebooks, the Twitters, the X, whatever you want to call it, I shared about the people behind the scenes that have to work hard so that Sunday can happen. And, you know, you've got the greeters that are at the doors, you've got the ladies and or the guys that are working in the nursery, you got Sunday school teachers and the janitor and the audio visual guys and all of those different people that are often unseen, sometimes thanked people that really work hard Sunday in, Sunday out to make Sunday happen. In addition to that, for pastors and certainly if you have a staff meeting, there's a whole lot of work that goes into making Sunday happen. So it's a hectic week of staff meetings and prep meetings and thinking through your planning center outline and all of those kinds of things to make sure that it's not going to be some 4-hour ordeal or whatever it might be. So you got all of that stuff timed out and planned out and the slides working just right. So it's a hectic week that leads then to a hectic morning because Sunday rolls around and it's 5 a.m. and you're rushing out the door, pouring your coffee into your travel mug and trying to get to church, all of that kind of stuff to make sure that everything is working. And it's not because, you know, I don't know, a power surge hits your church overnight. And so now the soundboard has reset to its factory settings and you're trying to get up there and fix all of that kind of stuff. And then, or maybe you're just fine tuning stuff and the light and whatever it might be. And you're thinking through transitions and flow. And we do that week in and week out, Sunday in, Sunday out, so that people in the pew can be encouraged, inspired, and edified week in and week out. And maybe to a degree that they don't have any disruptions because we have prepped so well that they can worship kind of freely. And in a sense, kind of thinking that there wasn't any work at all. It was just all, you know, worship. So we work hard so that they can sit and experience worship and they sit and receive while we sweat and exhaust ourselves to lead it, all of that kind of stuff. And by the way, that's what we are paid to do. And so, Kyle, I'm thinking in terms of a story in the Bible that maybe speaks to this kind of service in the sitting. Two ladies. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah. It does. And I believe that story is found at the end of Luke chapter 10. These two sisters who have, I guess you could say, very different personalities.
Yeah. Like a lot of sisters too.
Yes. And two different understandings maybe of what worship and service look like.
But while they were traveling, the text says in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus enters a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home, and she had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha, it says, was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Of course, we've never seen, you know, sisters have a disagreement over work being done. but she asked Jesus, "Tell her to give me a hand." And the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her." And so, how oversimplified.
There you go, Pastor. Oh, I was going to say, there you go, Pastor. One thing is necessary. That's it.
Yep, that's
it. Y'all have a good week. May your coffee be as black.
Yeah, let's leave right there before we say anything else dumb. But oversimplifying here, there's the Martha in the sound booth, the Martha greeting at the door, the Martha in the nursery, the Martha in the pulpit, so that a pew full of Marys can sit, listen, and receive much needed encouragement and worship. That's necessary, but it's also important to remember that service is a key element in the Christian life. It is part of the Christian life. It's what we're called to do. It's not a bad thing to serve. In fact, service is one of the means of grace that God gives to assist us in our spiritual growth. Serving and serving well and serving unto the glory of God is something we are commanded to do. And we don't serve just to get a job done. But ultimately, it helps spur our spiritual growth and sanctification as we serve others. And so it wasn't a bad thing that Martha was working so hard. And it's not a bad thing when we work hard to serve our people well. But, and that's where kind of this story really hits home, is we can't do so at the expense of sitting with Jesus in the presence of Jesus, and also ensuring that our heart is doing it unto him. And so Martha had this to-do list a mile long, and it had to get done, and no one, especially her dadgum sister, would help her. So she gripes and complains. Mary said that to-do list could wait just a minute so she could enjoy the presence of her Savior. So how, Kyle, do we balance the tension of needing to be both Mary and Martha in our churches, right? There's service to do, but we also need to also be in the presence of the Lord. So how do we balance that when we're the pastor, or we're the Sunday school teacher, or we're the sound guy? How do we do that?
Yeah, the most important way to do this is to create margin in your life where you can sit at Jesus's feet. Now, there's probably somebody who just heard that and said, "That sounds great. I have no margin in my life." That's where a healthy rhythm will come into play. My boss, my friend Andy Addis, talks a lot about rhythms, and as much as possible, trying to get into a pattern where you're taking a day off every week. And then you're taking a week off every so often, right? So you got to schedule out vacation time. You got to plan a day off. You've got to plan margin into your life to be able to do that. But here's the thing, right? This is not an anti-service thing. And I don't think the story is anti-service. And here's why I say that. There's all kinds of stuff that has to happen on a Sunday morning for church to be distraction free, right? So in other words, most people, when they walk into the building on Sunday morning, they aren't thinking, "Man, I'm so glad someone got here early to unlock this door that I'm about to walk into," right? They just assume that that door is going to be unlocked when they walk up. And it's not a distraction until what? The door is not unlocked when they try to get into it. Yeah. Nobody thinks about, you know, who's turned on the air conditioning or the heating when they walk into the sanctuary until it's not on, right? So you need, you have to do the service, and you need people in your church to do the service. Pastor, one of the ways that you can create margin in your life is to delegate, to hand off some tasks. Now, if you are a normative-sized church pastor, right now, you might be the one who shows up and unlocks the door and turns on the air and the heat and makes the coffee. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when we talk about being here's one of our old terms, Matt, resourceful generalist, right? Where you're doing, you can do it all. We say in that if that's what has to happen, great. But you need to seek to hand some of that off to other servants, to other people, to create that margin and to give them the joy of serving too, right? You don't have to do all of this out of a sense of obligation, because there are things you can hand off that will create margin in your life and will create joy in the lives of others who will be able to serve as well.
Yeah. I also think one of the keys there was that Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And so, you know, one of the things that it can be easy to do is, instead of us getting burnout with our many tasks, that we start, you know, throwing to different people and then they get burnout with many tasks, is there has to be some intentionality. Like, as I hear a word distracted, where it's not just that she had a to-do list, it's probably to some degree, she's just frantically trying to get stuff, you know, done so that she could, you know, be in the presence of Jesus too, whatever it might be. There seemed to be, perhaps, I'm speaking into this and maybe some implied stuff, maybe there's a distraction level there because she wasn't necessarily focused. And so one of the things that we can do is to add some intentionality with the tasks that we give, and also buy in or build in some rest for them too, so that they're not in the exact same situation as we are. And so it's one thing that we know that we need somebody to open the door week in and week out and turn on the lights and turn on the AC and all of that kind of stuff. And we also forget that they may very well have an 8-to-5 job as well. And so hey, they've got, and to that degree, sometimes I don't want to say we have it easier, because I think every job has its own struggles and perks and all of that kind of stuff. But it's also sort of the thing that I'm reminded from a brief foray outside of regular kind of quote unquote 9-to-5 church work, where I was working a job and then it became out of my own free will to be a part of the prayer meeting or to be a part of this or that and some of those. And there were times where that just margin and rhythm that I had, I was like, I just can't do it today. I need to just unwind a bit. We need to know that's how our people are filled. Yeah, we're paid to be there. We got to be there no matter what. And it's part of our job. And so, you know, remember that our people are doing all of this on top of their other work and everything else. Yeah. And so sometimes we have to help them when they won't help themselves, in the sense of, hey, we don't want to burn somebody out. And so carve in some intentional downtime for your sound guys and some intentional downtime for your nursery people and so forth, so that they're not distracted by much serving and everything else, and able to also devote some time to truly be refreshed and enjoy the presence of the Lord. And the other side of that is the intentionality that goes through, hey, having a list and having a plan, so that you're not just flying by the seat of your pants. And that plan includes some safeguards for when things go wrong, things go off the rails, so that it is going to happen. There's going to be something that you could never plan for, but to also have some backups and plan Bs and plan Cs, and maybe even plan Ds, Es, and Fs, so that when that day comes, you can kind of move through the list and maybe not be running around like a chicken with your head cut off and not ready to go. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah. And on top of that, I would say this, especially when you're talking about Sunday morning itself, this is where creating margin really, really becomes important, because you need to plan, or you need to assume, that there will be distractions, that there will be somebody who comes up to you at an inconvenient time, and they absolutely have to talk to you right now. And it might be about their upcoming procedure to remove a bunion from their toe, right? But you've got to hear about it because it's important to them. And if you don't have any margin like that, even a conversation like that could derail your whole morning, right? So you've got to plan that in. Know that you're going to be distracted on Sunday morning. And at the same time, know that while some things may come up that seem really trivial to you as the pastor, they're most likely not trivial to the people that are bringing them to you. Yeah. And so part of shepherding is allowing them to share their concerns with you. Right now, sometimes, you know, there are inconvenient times for that, right? Like if you're about to walk into the pulpit and somebody says, "Pastor, I need to talk to you right now," that's probably not going to happen, right? And again, you want to care for your folks. So, you know, I always told folks, as they were like on the way out the door and they're sharing like a concern with me, I said, "Man, I'm so, you know, thank you for telling me that. Please email me."
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to remember this when I get home, right? So don't put yourself in a tough situation where you're not able to minister to those in the moment, or you're just not in a space where you can minister well. But just know those things are going to pop up, and plan for those unplanned things as much as possible.
Yeah. So I think if I was to distill it down to two, that margin might just be setting that alarm just a little bit earlier, getting up to the church just a little bit before anybody else is there. What always helped me is before I even turned on the air or the heater, we never had to use the air really at Mayhill. Before I did all of that, turned on the lights, I just walked up and down the pews and prayed and just spent some time in there with the Father before a soul was going to be there. And so I just spent some time that morning just to kind of be in the presence of the Lord. And so maybe step one for you is setting that alarm just a little bit early and going up there or pausing before you ever leave with your cup of coffee, maybe reading over your text if you're the Sunday school teacher, or if you're the pastor, reading over your sermon text or whatever it might be. And just spend some time praying and thinking and preparing your heart for the day ahead. And then the number one, or the number two that I would encourage is striving for excellence, but most certainly not perfection. Like we want to do what we do well, of course, and I would say as good as we can. And that's not going to be, you know, where every church out there is going to be like a Preston Wood or a Cottonwood in the world, because they don't have maybe the resources or maybe even to a degree the same talent and some of those kinds of things. But we should not be stressing ourselves out or our people out and trying to pull off some kind of a product or whatever. We should just strive to do everything unto the Lord with excellence and to strive to do that in a well and a good way and be good with that, and then leave the rest. Yeah. That would just kind of be for me. I've been encouraged so many times in ministry when I will walk into the sanctuary, you know, even maybe 15 minutes before the service, and there's somebody there, you know, on the steps or maybe that front pew just praying.
Yeah.
And to me, that's like, that's the true Mary in our midst. It's just preparing her heart, or Martha, maybe in this case, this was a song leader, that was really striving to find that tension between both and ride that well of serving and preparing and just being in the presence. That would be my encouragement. So get up early enough, maybe to just spend some time with the Father, spend some time in His presence, and then just make sure that you're striving for excellence, not perfection. There's going to be something that's going to go wrong. There's going to be that typo in your slides, you know, or two periods instead of one. I mean, all of that kind of stuff is going to happen. That's fine. It's not the end of the world. Kyle, anything else?
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. You want to do things well, but you don't have to worry about perfection. And look, I mean, if you can learn when there's a glitch, and there will be, right, there will be a pop or a feedback in the sound system, something won't go wrong. Listen, when that happens, laugh about it, and just keep moving on, right? just keep going, and know that you don't have to be perfect in order to lead people to Jesus. You don't have to be perfect in order to have folks encounter the Father in your worship gatherings. And so don't feel that pressure.
All right. Well, Kyle, enjoy your time in Salina, whatever, Texas.
Salina, yeah.
Kansas.
Kansas.
And we'll see you next time, and go take a Zyrtec or whatever and fix your
No kidding.
Allergies. And everybody else, may your coffee be as black as night and as bold as the gospel we declare.
What's wrong with you people?